It's Wrecking Ball Radio.
Shut up and entertain me.
There's no rules. There's no rules.
Holy sh! It's amazing.
I see her sarcasm and nastiness grow.
This is Davin's Den.
Everybody, you are listening to Davin's Den. Yes, Davin's Den, the show that is better than getting kicked out of the Cub Scouts.
Maybe.
You can join our chat room, the Den Pin, by going to davinsden.com and clicking on air. If you wish to call in, the number to call in is 845-986-8804. I'm your host, Davin Rosenblatt. Joined by Pip Helix.
Hi, everybody.
Hey, Pip, welcome back.
Hey, thank you.
Joe will be here shortly. Or so. I would lean more on the or so side.
Yeah, because it's nasty out there.
It's nasty in this car, too, so should be getting along quite well.
Oh, so that should be no trouble. Like,
oh, and when he shows up, it'll be nasty in here.
Oh, you know what? That'll be business as usual.
Joe brings the nasty.
Oh, I know. I'm bringing a little nasty tonight, too.
Nice. It was actually somebody described you as sweet, and I didn't argue with that.
Wrong!
I guess in comparison to what you're dealing with.
Maybe.
It's like a barracuda and a tank full of a piranha. All right, I can see.
Actually, that makes me look good. I should hang around with you guys more often.
Most certainly should. Well, you're the one who takes off for stupid things like anniversaries. Anyway, on the show, when a tragedy happens, what topics are too soon to discuss right away, and what ones can we discuss immediately? Do we really love the Constitution, or just certain parts of it?
Mm.
Referees walk off the field after football players kneel. A boy gets kicked out of the Cub Scouts for asking a congresswoman tough questions. Social media companies testify in front of Congress, but who's really at fault for the spread of misinformation? And Ann Jackson. It's been several weeks.
Oh, Ann, we love you.
We do love the
Then
Ann.
We hate you. Then we love you.
Did you vote, Ms. Helix? Today's voting day.
I actually did not.
See, I knew you were going to say that, and I bet Joe didn't vote either, and there's going to be excuses, and I'm going to address this right now.
Yeah.
First of all, I feel like if you are not going to take the time to vote, you should not be allowed to participate in online debates. Now, you're usually not guilty of that when it comes to political matters.
True.
You're usually pretty good about that.
Yeah, and usually I vote.
I understand, but still, I feel like there is too many people passing memes around, uninformed opinions, informed opinions on social media. If you're not going to actually partake in the one day where we can actually theoretically do something about it,
Theoretically,
I feel like your social media asshole privileges should be revoked.
What? I would not be allowed to back on.
You would next time there was an election.
Oh, true. Okay.
Yes, I feel this, and I've said this before, and it's been poo-pooed here that there should be like in other countries, it's a national holiday.
Yeah.
Everybody goes out to vote. I feel that way.
It would be great if I had had the time to come.
Well, that's the problem, because yeah. Everybody has work and we have such full lives.
Yeah.
They make it very difficult.
Yeah.
Especially if your voting district is not where near you work.
Right. It's not. And so that makes it difficult. I mean, if I had gotten myself together early in the morning to get there, but I have to be to work pretty early and not close to where I'm supposed to vote at all. And I literally went from when I got to the only thing that I did take time at lunchtime, but I had to go and get my headlight changed because I got pulled over for having a headlight out last night. And because I knew I was going to work up to the minute and then come straight here in the rain.
You didn't know it was going
to
rain.
No, I didn't. But it was. But that made having to work up to the last second.
But here's the problem.
Drive the rain. Not 1 second to do it.
If there's a day off, you allot the time.
Oh, I totally would have gone.
And there was important things in New York State, too.
I mean, I've dragged my ass with the flu to go vote.
As you should infect the electorate, absolutely.
I coughed on everything, and I smeared phlegm everywhere.
I'm just tired of the... And I bet Joe didn't vote either, and he'll have a reason or excuse. Like, mm-hmm. Well, you know, I got to get up here, this, that, the other thing. you know.
Oh, that.
No, but I'm saying, you know, every I get it. We all have busy lives. I think if you're going to bitch about something, you should participate. That being said, I've long held that it should be a national holiday. Because,
I agree.
Because our voter turnout in this country is pathetic.
It's abysmal.
Once again, where I went to vote, treats. Treats are waiting for you.
Really?
Every time I vote, treats are waiting.
Now, are they things to be purchased or things that they just lay out for you to have?
Lay out for me to have.
Hey, wait, say that again slowly.
Lay out for me to have. Lay out.
No, that's not sexy. That's just slow. Oh,
you just said be slowly, so I didn't know you wanted sexy. You just said slowly.
Well, what you were saying.
Lay out things for me to have.
There you go.
Yeah.
Now you get it.
There we go. No, and always in my little voting district, they do that. Today was apple cider donuts.
Nice.
Various bags of chips, fresh fruit, coffee, apple cider.
Fresh fruit?
Yes. Isn't that an incentive? Like, even if you don't want to vote, you go, well, I'd like a snack. And since I'm here.
Since I'm here, I'll check some boxes.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll knock out some Chads. I'm sorry, Chad.
But isn't that incentive? I was actually looking forward to it. I know they always have something. I'm like, I wonder what they'll have today. I was hungry.
In my old district, they used to coincide their bake sale with voting day. And
Brains.
That was awesome until they said you're not allowed to sell baked goods outside of the voting. Do you believe this? The school just wants to sell a couple of little cupcakes, make a little profit. No, that you're not allowed.
I wonder if they could have done it where they were giving it away for free, but you're allowed to make a donation of your choosing.
I wonder if they could have done that.
That might have been the workaround. But I actually look forward to voting because I like a free treat.
Joe's girl says they're probably for the workers.
No, not for the workers, Joe's girl. No, because the workers are in the gym with the voting booths.
Right.
This is where
outside.
This is like in the lobby of the school because it happens in the school. Like a lot of
yeah, a lot of them do.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, it's lovely, and I look forward to it. And I feel like if you can get in your head something to look forward to with the voting, like a little pleasurable thing,
then
it'll make it more worthwhile to people. Go, oh, this isn't a drag. I'm going to get a treat.
Oh, yeah. I'm surprised that they didn't used to have, you know, in the olden days, used to have voting in the pub. I mean, this would lead to some knock-down, drag-out fights afterwards. But that's where people are going.
Yeah, I mean.
You know, it's like, if you could let me, I always thought I would like to open a business, which is a bar and a laundromat. Because, I mean, there'd be a lot of messed up leftover clothes at the end of the night. But, I mean, why not combine two things if
they've
people
done
have
that.
To do?
I think they've had that in the city.
Yeah.
I know people have, it's funny, George. they've done comedy in laundromats in the city.
How's that work out?
I don't know. They did it for years. And I remember Joe wanted to perform at one of these. This isn't a joke. This is, you know.
I'm headlining at the Fluff and Fold.
This is several years ago. I mean, I don't know what's becoming. I had no interest. I had no interest in performing. Even then, I had no interest in a laundry. This is probably between 5 and 10 years ago.
I think it would be interesting, though.
I think it was. Even then, I was like, yeah, I'm kind of over interesting. But Joe wanted to perform at the laundromat. He was looking to get in the city. A little bit more.
Yeah.
I think at that time I was already working a club in the city.
Okay.
But I would still do mics and everything. So Joe wanted to work a laundromat, and they'd been doing comedy for a while, so it wasn't like this fly-by-night thing.
Yeah.
No, I mean, this was like, and it makes sense. They got people there.
Yeah.
I mean, they do comedy shows in hostels.
You know what?
Which I did once. I'm like, okay, I don't need to do that again. I did it once like a year ago.
How did it work out?
It was fine, but it's just not. It doesn't interest me.
Yeah.
They don't really understand English.
Right. That's what I was afraid of.
Yeah. It's like, and I've been invited to come back, you know, whenever I want, but I've never inquired again because, you know what? If I'm going to deal with people who don't understand English, I'll do it at the club. Because a lot of times we get tourists that don't understand English, and I've done that and everything, but I don't need to do a hostel.
Yeah. Well, you don't need another hostile audience.
There it is.
You knew.
There it is. So Joe wanted to do this laundromat.
Yeah.
So Joe inquires about performing at the laundromat.
Sure.
And they tell Joe, this is how long ago it is, what I'm about to say. They tell Joe, and Joe's already a professional comic. He'd already been doing it between 10 and 15 years.
Okay.
Joe was already regularly working as a host, I was probably hiring him to feature, right, as were probably other people. So Joe was a professional comic. He wasn't a new open mic or Hammond Egger that had to perform on this at this laundromat or he wasn't going to get any time.
Right.
No, he was already beyond that, but he wanted to be in the city. So Joe inquires about performing at the laundromat, and they tell Joe that in order to perform at the laundromat, he has to send a tape.
No!
As I recall, Joe was not having that.
Yeah, no.
like even Joe was like, you know, I want to perform in the city. I'm not sending a tape to a laundromat.
I have to audition for the fucking laundromat.
Right.
No.
Right. It wasn't a guest spot where you're popping. Well, at least I'm getting time. And this is when there were still tapes. So, you know, it's a little while ago.
This is amazing. Hey, you know where you can take those softer sheets? Yeah, no.
I don't think Joe ever submitted that tape. I think he was pretty irate. Justifiably so.
Yeah, that's
but I understand both sides. They're very protective of their room.
Yeah, sure.
That's their baby.
Okay.
And they don't know Joe from, you know, anybody else.
Right, and he could really stink. I mean, anybody walking in could just really stink. So everybody thinks they're funny.
I understand their point. And I certainly understand Joe's point in his career. He's like, really? I want to get in the city. I am not submitting a tape to a laundromat.
Can you imagine having to admit that when you get, like, bigger and you're like, yeah, I once played a laundromat.
Well,
I had to submit a tape.
It's a great couch story if you're doing a talk show.
Yeah, oh, yeah, it is.
But, you know, I think that was Joe's line. And Joe's line is a lot further than my line. Like, I've always had, fuck this. In me. Like, I'll put up with a lot of shit more than most normal people would. But Joe will put up, when it comes to comedy, Joe will put up with even more than I will.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, there's, you really just don't want to go through life feeling like that much of a doormat, no matter how bad you want it.
I listen, like I said, I understood both points of view, but it is kind of funny that, you know, when you're performing in between the spin cycle, they need to see a tape. It's like, how many people are banging down the door to play the laundromat? I guess enough where people are submitting tapes.
Yeah, I just find that astounding.
Yeah, it was kind of funny. I hadn't thought about that in a long time.
You know, it's kind of like, can you play for free at my son's bar mitzvah? And could you submit a tape for
us
to review?
Yeah, well, there's that. There's still that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, who in their right mind thinks a laundromat's a plush gig? I mean, like what, under what circumstances is the laundromat going, listen, I'm honored to be here?
Maybe somebody who really likes to just steal some fresh laundry.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. We can't pay you, but you could do a free load.
I've heard that before.
You could perform, but you have to bring two baskets of dirty laundry with you.
or clean. Yeah. Hand it out to the needy. I don't know.
It's just so ridiculous, but that's what comedy is.
Yeah. No, it is ridiculous because, I mean, just the fact that you have to, like, bring the audience with you, it's like, really? I mean, when I go to the restaurant, do I have to bring the ingredients?
Well, you're paying.
Yeah, I know.
Well, they're assuming. Yeah, listen, I'm not a fan of the Bringer Show.
No.
But that's what the industry has become.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to get into a whole big comedy industry talk right now. Yeah. So, but that was just a little tangent on the laundromat thing. it turns out my neighbor, his church, because it's an old school building, it's not a school anymore. They put other things in there, which was a whole big thing in town several years ago. So my daughter went to school. So they have a church in there.
Okay.
So I posted on Facebook, my town knows how to get me to motivate to vote, free donuts. Turns out his church does that all the time. They're the ones that put out the treats, which is very nice.
Jesus treats.
But I didn't ask him this, but I was wondering, now is there a conflict between church and state? Now the church is not asking for anything,
right?
You know, they're not even like take a pamphlet. The table's unmanned.
Yeah.
So they are honestly doing it out of the goodness of their heart. It's a nice thing,
which actually some religious people just do,
right?
You know, a lot of them do,
right? But I did wonder in my mind. I go, well, is this a conflict? Because, you know, you can't do certain things within 100 feet of a voting booth.
I would think that. Completely with no signs, no pamphlets, nobody standing there, you know,
proselytizing. I'm sure they have a sign, you know, like brought to you by, I think it's the Grace Church. I think they have a sign.
That's so mild. I can't even imagine why that would be a problem.
I think it would take somebody, and listen, they have poll workers there.
Yeah.
And they have people from the county there monitoring things.
They do.
But I think it would really take some atheist douche to really be like bitch about it.
Look, I'm an atheist. I don't have a problem with some nice people. Oh, thank you.
No, but I'm saying like
Leaving treats for people.
No, you're like me. You're like live and let live. You don't give a shit.
I don't give a shit.
You're like me. If it works for you, cool. I'm happy. If it makes you behave, I'm happy.
Yeah. Right.
Exactly. You and I don't hate religion. It's just a choice we don't want to partake in.
Exactly.
Right. But I'm saying it would take like one of these adamant assholes to go,
yeah,
how dare, you know, then it would, I guess it could cause a problem.
Yeah, it's like, you don't have to ruin everything for everybody else.
Yes, we do.
Either side.
Yes, we have to ruin it.
Yes, apparently we do.
We have to ruin
everything. This is how people work these days, which sucks.
But yeah, I think that's a nice thing. And I could do without the sticker. They gave me a sticker. I shoved it in my pocket.
Oh,
I voted today?
Yeah, really, I saw those.
I don't need that. I don't, just like in the second grade, I didn't need the little frog with the sticker that said, kiss me, I don't smoke. Didn't need that either. kiss me, I'm Irish.
Or how about the little blood droplet, kiss me, I gave blood today? Oh, cool. What are they selling? We get a call in the middle of the show, and it's probably somebody selling.
It was a political call.
It
was a stupid Democrat.
Separation of state and comedy.
The thing's about to close, and they're calling.
Look, get your asses out
it's
here.
It's a reason
in the rain
for me not to vote Democrat. Interrupting my show.
How dare you?
It's interesting.
Just girl wanted to know. Was it Joe?
No. It's interesting though. Like there's so many positions that are at least where I live that are unchallenged, where it's just Republican.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that where like nobody even ran. I once again asked the boss if I was allowed to run for anything, and no.
You know.
And I said, you know, I'm going to run. I put on Facebook, I'm going to run for something. And somebody said, yeah, start as councilman. I go, screw that. I'm running for president. Go work for Trump. Just go for the gusto.
Yeah, I
said, can you imagine how awesome the debates would be between me and Trump?
Can you imagine how fast you would go gray and just be like,
oh, that, yeah, no,
nearing death.
Oh, yeah. No, that would definitely happen.
It's like, do you think you'll make it to see your library built?
But just imagine this. Imagine Donald tries to get my goat with one of his stupid nicknames. Could you just imagine the look of it? Really? What are you, in the third grade? Is that what you have?
Yeah, but you know what? He'd put his foot right in his mouth and he'd probably say, like, Joey Davin. Oops.
No, but whatever it is.
You know?
Whatever, because the way you do it is you say, you mock him going, is that the best you? Because Eminem mocked him. He didn't say shit to Eminem.
I noticed.
Because he knows you don't go after Eminem.
Eminem will take your ass down.
He attacks the Democrats all the time. You know who he doesn't attack very often? Al Franken. And Al Franken is leading the pack because Al Franken will rip him a new one.
Oh, God, yeah. No,
so
he's
Trump
got...
is not... Trump's a regular bully. He is not going to take on somebody that's going to make him look stupid. So could you imagine... Could you imagine what those debates... First
Actually,
of all, two people
that would be really great.
Two people that probably don't know the issues, so that's a tie. Although I would argue I probably know them a skosh better than him, and I could probably keep better track of them than he...
But you know what? If somebody sat down and tried to explain it to you, and they had the files open and they were giving you points, you'd listen.
I'm going to tell you how bad Trump is on this stuff. He puts out a tweet today. There's a race for Virginia governor. Obviously, he wants the Republican to win, so he puts out a tweet why you shouldn't vote for the Democrat. You know, nothing wrong there. But he says, you know, I don't remember the guy who's running, whatever his name is. He goes, bad on vets. Here's the thing, like U.S. veterans. Here's the thing. He's a veteran. He served. This is how bad Trump is at this game.
Yeah. Oh, what? Did he get caught?
Yes, bad on vets. Forgot to come up with 5 deferments. Can you
imagine? Yeah.
Like, if he did that to me, could you imagine?
Oh, rippity-doo-dah.
And you go, oh, he says all these awful things. I go, yes. Yes, I do.
Rippity-doo-dah.
Just like you.
Yes, yes. But you know what? I own it.
Except in my locker room, we didn't talk about grabbing pussies. We just grabbed a pussy like a man. We didn't
just
have to talk about it.
Go for it. What are you talking about it for?
Talk is cheap, Donald. Grab that pussy.
I like the opportunity to just say, let me show you.
But can you imagine? I mean, it would be great. Yeah, that's why I've said Trump, the best thing that happened to Trump was Jon Stewart retired.
Yes. And he was so lucky.
Yes. And Trump would never come on this show.
Oh.
Could you imagine Trump sitting where Joe sits?
Oh,
and like put up with like what Joe puts up with? And, you know, 80% of the time handles quite well.
Yeah. No. Joe can handle himself, but I think that Trump would be eviscerated on this show.
Right, but I mean, like Joe will try to put forth an argument most of the time.
Yeah.
Can you? Trump would just pout.
Oh, yeah, yeah, with those little girly lips.
He would just, Trump would immediately deteriorate to name-calling.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which really is not the way to go on this show. It's like, really?
No. Cause, like, I mean, because we're immune to it at this point.
It's like, even when, like, Joe does that, when he's angry, I'm like, really? That's what we're doing?
It's like, no, it's beneath you. Stop that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, it is beneath Joe. It is beneath. Because I respect his comedic mind. He's a funny guy.
Yeah.
It's not beneath Donald Trump. It's right
that's where he lives.
Yeah, exactly. So I when it comes to that, like, if Joe's going to insult me, that's why I get upset when he goes to the standard stuff. Like, you got better. I've heard better.
Yeah.
I'll take a good insult.
Yeah, a good one, an original one. Yeah,
absolutely. I respect that.
If something cuts to the quick.
I'll rip into you, but first I'll laugh. I will give the props that it deserves.
First I'll laugh. Okay, but let me get back at that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, every once in a while, you just tip the hat and go, well, that was a good one.
That was awesome. But, touche.
But our president has, no.
No, he doesn't have game.
But I am not allowed to run for office.
Yeah, no, I can see that would going badly.
For who?
For them.
For the others.
For the others. That would be bad.
Don't you think I'd be good at something?
Oh, no, I actually do think that would be good. But I don't think you have any idea of the enormous amount of time
that's
suck.
The problem. That's the problem.
Time suck is,
because I did
amazing.
Go to law school to run for office.
Yeah.
I originally wanted to be president, and then I realized Jews can't be. But that's now. I didn't know that then, but I know that now.
Yeah,
if you don't believe me, off the record, ask John McCain why Lieberman wasn't his choice for vice president and Sarah Palin was.
Because
he and Lieberman were best buds. Yep. That's who he wanted. That's who he really wanted to have.
He said to his friend, "You know what? I'm sorry, but it won't happen with you on the ticket.
Let me take this crazy broad. That should be fine.
That'll be great for the
America. But you know, maybe he wins with Lieberman. Who knows? And that's why people say Franken will be, a great president. I go, maybe, but
the
country's
know.
Not ready for a Jew yet. We're not there yet.
And I don't understand that. I don't understand that, because it should have nothing to
do
with it.
Listen, there's a lot of bigots, racism, and misogynists in this country. And anybody's fooling themselves if they don't think otherwise. Listen, Hillary lost for a lot of reasons, many of them her own.
Yes. No, she.
But misogyny certainly played a role in it.
It did.
I mean, if you look at the way President Trump was judged and how she was judged, for instance.
Yeah.
I mean, like Hillary Clinton said the famous deplorables. And when she said that, I cringe. Like,
here we go.
That's not
They're going to take that on and go, deplorable. Yay!
And the problem with that was she goes like half of it. And I'm like, well, that's too high.
Yeah.
There was certainly an element, but not half.
Yeah.
But whatever. President Trump said much worse.
Oh, my God.
But President Trump's like, let me brush that off. And Hillary Clinton, they used that as a rallying cry to beat the crap out of her.
Yeah.
But whatever. So I'm not allowed to run for office, which is it is amazing. Time suck.
It's unbelievable. I've spoken to council people, you know, on town levels and stuff. And, you know, I've had a couple of friends that have actually, you know, worked in the towns and at least one good friend who worked as a council person. Worked, I say. You know, they get a stipend, but it's a lot of work.
See, that's why.
I mean, she's just, like, busy all the time.
But see, that's why I think I need to immediately go to president. Because I know there's a lot of work in that. But I won't find it beneath me. Because, some of the conversations I've heard from people in town, like arguments about like what trees need to be cut down, I don't have patience for that. I don't have patience to sit there for that conversation.
And that is some of what goes on.
Exactly. Exactly. And you know me. I'm like, really? Either cut the tree or don't cut the... Don't we have something important to do?
Do we
have homeless people? Let's worry about the homeless. The trees are fucking fine.
I volunteered very briefly on a committee. Oh, my God, kill me.
Right. That's where that's where I would be.
There's three people that do everything, and then there's a bunch of other people that show up when they feel like it, and they're like, summarize for me what happened at the last seven meetings.
I get that enough with this radio show.
Go fuck yourself.
I get that enough with this show. I don't need any more of that element in my life.
No. There's
people showing up when they want. No more.
Wait a minute.
I'm just saying people. Many people are saying.
Okay. Yes, I see that. I see where you're going.
No, but see, no, I would not have the patience for small town politics. Perhaps governor. Perhaps I could start with governor.
Okay.
Maybe not senator, because I really don't feel like schmoozing.
What about a... Well, but I'm just saying, what about a state assemblyman?
Again, there's that schmoozing element.
Yeah, there's a lot of baby
like I don't want to have, yeah, I don't want to have to kiss ass to get enough people to like me so I can, you
know,
then
you're done.
To pass a bill.
Right now you're done.
I'd like to be in the Trump mode, but with being able to spell.
No, you have to kiss ass to get any place in politics these days. You do.
Hey, I'm not interested in that.
Yeah, I know that. Well, there you go.
But as a third party candidate,
what do you mean? So, like, hi, I'm the candidate that doesn't kiss anybody's ass, including yours? Yeah, that's going to go.
That's kind of what Trump ran on. It's what he ran on.
It's what he ran on. That's not what he does.
I understand, but it's what he ran on, and he sold it. Yeah. Now, he's a better salesman than I am. He's a better salesman than I am.
Well,
but I actually believe what I say.
Yeah.
Yeah. But as far as being able to sell, you know, shit in Shinola, he's the guy.
But see, you're still a true believer. You still believe that things could be done... That there are people who actually want to do the right thing.
Which shows my naivete.
Yes.
Because in New York, we had this thing, should we have, every 20 years, should we have a constitutional convention?
Mm-hmm.
Which means that they can, you know, redo the Constitution,
mm-hmm.
but and the delegates are elected, but before anything passes, we get to vote on whether we want it to pass or not.
Right.
So it's not just the delegates deciding this is what it is.
Yeah.
A lot of people did not want the constitutional convention. Because they don't trust the politicians and they're afraid of all the big money coming in.
Yeah,
I'm so naive. I'm like, yeah, fuck it. It'll be fine. Yeah, I'm still stupid that
way. Oh, gosh.
Yeah, still a little stupid.
Oh,
though.
Little Devin, come sit on my knee.
Oh, Dicky.
Oh, Dicky.
Little Dicky, sit on my knee.
So silly, little Dicky.
And if you were in Lake Hopatcong about 18 years ago, you get that reference.
Although, probably not in your voice, because I kept stealing your lines.
Yeah, well, okay. So be it.
I had no idea.
So, I'm not allowed to run for office. A little disappointing.
Well, but you know what? You're a family man, and it's really a time suck times two.
I would hire the best people.
I almost spit at my coffee.
There you go.
So you don't hire the best people here.
I think I could help, though. I think I could, just by my looks of really when they start with the bullshit, I would probably last only one term in whatever I was elected for.
But, see, you look at it, and you go, oh, those little town committees and stuff. I would not want to be... All politics is a bigger and more full of bullshit version of the town committee.
I understand that, but my self-worth deems that I am above that.
Clearly
I'm not, since I haven't served for anything. But I feel... I don't really give a shit about the potholes. That's how I've, and that's a big part of it.
It is.
You have to give a shit about the potholes.
That's where people live.
Right.
What are you going to do about that tree?
Right.
What are you going to do about that pothole? And how come they don't come and pick up garbage more than once a week?
And I'm all.
That's where people live.
And I'm all. Hey, get North Korea on the phone. Send them a Floby. Let's see if we can talk.
What the heck is a Floby?
That was that vacuum thing that you used to do your hair with.
Oh God! Yeah. Send him a Floby.
Yeah. You know, that's where I'm at.
Well, I don't know if going right... Now, do you think that you would be good at diplomacy?
Yes, I'm a wonderful human being. Yeah, no. Well, maybe I'll work on my sales pitch a little bit more. Yeah. Because I go, listen, you want this, I want this, let's get to where we can both live with it. Because you're not going to be happy and I'm not going to be happy, but we both know we have to come up with something.
Yeah, blowing everything up is not the answer.
Exactly. That's where I'd be. I go, let's look at this logically.
Mm-hmm.
You want nuclear weapons.
Yeah.
I can't really have you having nuclear weapons.
Because you're a nut.
Yeah. But you guys are dirt poor. Listen, but here's the, like, you would have to take Trump out of the equation where he rips up treaties, which mean nothing. So you'd have to go before we started doing shit like that. Because once you start ripping up treaties and deals, our word means nothing. So you'd have to go past that, but I go, listen, here's the deal. You guys can't have nuclear weapons. We'll help you with nuclear energy.
Mm-hmm.
So that the parts of your country that don't have electricity, you guys can generate electricity. We will help you with that. We're going to give it to you at cost.
Yeah.
So that's what we're going to send our engine. We want to partner with you.
Mm-hmm.
We realize you don't like South Korea and everything, but this is not working.
Yeah.
You are surrounded by all these people, and you have them summarily killed sometimes because, you know, they don't really like you. This is the thing. This is why this is why wives get killed and uncles get murdered. Mm-hmm. This is, we know this.
Yeah.
Let me help you. Yeah. Let me help you make your people fulfill your people's lives. You look like a hero because you've worked this great deal mm-hmm. with us. You just can't be shooting shit over Japan and Guam. We can't do that.
Stop aiming all the shit you have at Seoul.
And listen.
Stop it.
Listen, we don't want to invade. You don't have oil.
Yeah. Cross that off the list.
We don't. Listen, we're tired. We don't. We can kick your ass. We will kick your ass. We don't want to kick your ass.
We don't want to be bothered.
We'd much rather get along with you.
Yeah.
This is your country. Let us help you to make your country better.
Yeah.
Let's work there so that you have your dignity and pride, we have our dignity and pride, and you and I could go to sleep at night not worrying if we're going to turn each other fluorescent green.
Right.
You know.
I do wonder, though, do they actually care about the welfare of their...
They don't. Well, he does not.
No, he doesn't.
He does not.
Their people.
He does not. But that is why... He is fucking fearful. That's why he's got to exterminate people and he's got to vow these things. You know, it's like, listen, man.
Because he's afraid of a coup.
You're already
someday.
Our dear leader. Wouldn't you like to be our dearer leader?
Well, I don't think that that's actually a motivational for him. He doesn't care about the welfare of his own people.
No, but he does care about his own welfare.
His own.
Right. Where we go, listen, you keep yamming. I'm not going to send a nuclear weapon. We got enough conventional weapons. They're right there. They're right across the border. It doesn't take much. Yeah. I'm not going to destroy your country. Your country's already destroyed.
Yeah.
There's nothing there.
You did that. Thanks.
But we have very good precision missiles. You can't fucking hide. You can't hide. There's no time. You know this. We have overwhelming force. We don't want to use it. You don't want us to use it.
You really don't.
Save your ass. Save a little face.
Yeah,
it would be nice.
Look
good. We're not looking. We don't need to say how we conquered you. Don't really care about the optics.
No.
You could claim your moral victory. Let's just get this so where everybody sleeps well at night.
Yeah.
You know, that's it's not the posturing.
But then again, no, it's all about the posturing for Trump. I mean, he wants to be Mr. Badass.
Well, I understand, but I'm saying if I'm doing
you went in there?
Well, I'm saying if I was in there, I'd be going, listen, here's what, I know you got to look this way. I don't give a shit what anybody thinks about me. You see my YouTube clips? Have you heard the show I used to do? I don't care. I'm here to solve a problem.
Now, the big thing is, would you bring the tattooed basketball star?
I'll throw that in. Rodman's yours. We don't even like him. He could be your pet.
He's an embarrassment. Why don't you just put a chain around his neck?
Yeah, you can have Dennis Rodman.
As a pet.
I'll fucking throw in Scottie Pippen. Nobody gives a shit about him either.
Oh, my God.
Because he loves the Bulls.
Poor
he loves
Pippen.
He loves that Bulls team.
Yeah.
So
throwing Scottie Pippen. Does Scottie Pippen have anything to say about this?
Well, depends, you know.
Do it for your country, man.
We'll visit. No, but I mean, I think there's certainly the fact that this guy, the thoughts that this guy is an irrational actor is not. He's seen what has gone on when Libya gave up their fucking nuclear weapons.
Mm-hmm.
We saw how Gaddafi died.
Yeah.
He saw what happened when we made a treaty with Iran. We're talking to tearing that shit up.
Yeah.
So he kind of knows. He kind of knows our word's no good.
Right.
So you gotta give something. If you really want to, you have to give him something tangible.
Yeah, I mean,
like you have to go, listen, we're going to help you. We're going to help you with the engineering of this, but we're not going to give you the high-grade, plutonium and whatever to blow shit up mercury.
That would be such a bad idea.
What?
That would be such a bad idea to give them anything that they can make nuclear weapons.
Not nuclear weapons. Not the stuff for the nuclear weapons. But to help them get it so they can use nuclear energy.
Nuclear energy, yeah.
Yes, yes, that's what I'm saying. Because right now they already have nuclear weapons.
Why couldn't they have a Fukushima? I mean, if we have to have that,
exactly.
and 3 Mile Island, why can't we spread that wealth?
So that's, but again, listen, world, it's not going to happen. I'm going to have to stay in my basement. I'm sorry.
Wait a minute, they're going to be shutting down Indian Point in New York soon. Why don't we dismantle that and ship it over? I'm sure they'd be happy to run that.
Maybe, or something that works better.
I mean, all we need is somebody else that, you know, borders the ocean irradiating fish that can come over to us.
Mm, tuna.
It's all pre-cooked.
So I'm not allowed to serve.
Yeah.
Which is disturbing. But perhaps better.
Yeah, it might be better for all.
But maybe not. I also... I seriously want to move out of this country.
Really?
I love my country.
Mm-hmm.
Not really. My head isn't where the populace is.
Yeah,
By what I mean, like we don't value intelligence.
Yeah, that's really disturbing.
We don't value politeness.
No, not anymore.
Our answer, well, at least the loudest voices to solving gun issues is everybody has a gun, which I don't want to get into the gun thing so much right now, but I don't really – I don't like worrying when my kid goes to school.
Right.
I don't like worrying when I'm doing comedy shows.
Yeah.
I don't like worrying when I go to ball games.
Mm-hmm.
There's safer places. There's better places. Oh, I should get – I'll double back to the
I know where you're going.
Where am I? I'd go to Canada.
Yeah.
Or I'd go to an island nation.
I was going to say, you're sounding Canadian more and more.
I would go to Canada.
Yeah.
I have friends in Canada. I like Canada. Oh, also about this voting thing, real quick, double back. So I was talking to a friend in Australia. You have to vote. If you don't vote, you get heavily fined.
I think that that's smart.
I agree. But you go, oh, our civil liberties and all. Well, you know what? Part of your civil liberties, you know, we're going to take this away from you. Fucking vote. Participate.
Yeah.
But I kind of like that idea.
I think it's, I mean, I know I'm talking out of, you know, one side of my mouth, but both sides, that I actually did not vote today. And I'm not happy with
problematic.
That. I'm not happy with that. But I
when I was in the Bahamas, I voted.
Did you?
Yeah, I sent in an absentee ballot.
Yeah.
Didn't work.
Yeah, I think that had I, well, I have gotten enough tickets out here, mm-hmm. up here, coming up here, and knowing that I was driving up here with one headlight out. Yeah, no.
No, I don't blame you.
So, I mean, I did have plans that I was going to try to vote at lunchtime, but then...
Like I said, it goes back to what I've been saying forever, and I think Joe is against it, but I'm like, national holiday. The kids are off from school.
It would have been great. It really would have been great to be able to have the day so I could do that.
You know, I think it's like you should be going to vote, and I think it should be a patriotic day where we celebrate our democratic republic.
Absolutely, because we have some BS holidays. Why don't we have a day off so we can vote?
You know, we celebrate whether who you vote for wins or loses, whatever. You celebrate, hey, we're still doing this. We're going to have a leadership change on some level, and no weapons were fired.
Yeah.
And we're doing it peacefully.
Yeah.
We're setting an example. We're setting an example for our children and for future generations, for other countries. We really should celebrate it. We don't. We would rather celebrate other things like Arbor Day. But whatever. Groundhog Day. Whatever.
Yeah, I know. Crazy.
So, yeah, I've had enough. I've traveled enough places.
Mm-hmm.
I've had enough of this country. Because...
I understand.
You know, because our politics... is so paralyzed they can do nothing.
Yeah, no, nothing happens.
There's so much money in our politics.
Ugh.
People line up on their sides where conversation cannot be had. You're actually seeing it in another Republican in New Jersey, another Republican congressman said he's not running for re-election because of the partisanship. So I think there's like 26 Republicans that have said they're not running and like 10 Democrats.
Yeah,
and they've cited
sick of it.
They've cited which and you know they're a big part of it, but
yeah, but they're like, you know what, I can't be part of it anymore.
And I don't want to get too much into the gun thing right now, but the fact of the matter is I've also realized this when it comes to how America reacts to tragedy.
Yeah.
If a brown man kills somebody, we're very upset.
Right.
If people are killed by natural disasters, we're very upset.
Right.
If a white man, and it's always a man, men are the problem.
No argument.
I know. No, men are the problem. But if a white man does something, there's nothing we can do.
Yeah.
Thoughts and prayers.
Throw up the hands.
Yeah. It's like, is that where we are?
Yes.
And like you see these, like there was a shooting in Colorado last week at a Walmart. Three people died. Nobody fucking talked about it.
Nobody. But there was enough of a death toll.
There was Texas Christian University was shut down today because two shuttle bus drivers were shooting at each other.
Jesus Christ.
And it's just like, oh, okay. You go on with your day. This is not normal.
No, it's not normal behavior.
There's no place safe.
Well, Joe's Girl says, don't you think the media has something to do with that? Well, I think that as far as the death toll not being high enough for it to be a big news story, yeah.
But no, that's not fair, because if it wasn't for the media, I wouldn't know about these stories.
That's true.
So they are reporting it.
Yeah.
But they know what our Jones is. Yeah. We want high body counts, mm-hmm. and we can't get enough of President Trump.
Well, that's my point.
I mean, we love him or hate him, we need Donald Trump. Donald Trump has been injected into our veins since the campaign, mm-hmm. and I'm as guilty as the next one.
Yeah.
You got to get whether you want to defend him or lynch him.
Or launch onto some little thing to...
Right. You're just looking to be outraged. There's a lot of that, too, with him, unfortunately.
Yeah.
You need the Trump. You need the high body count. That's where we are. So no, I don't blame the media for that.
Just Girl said, but they don't spend time on it. But I think you're just addressing that. Is that no? They don't,
because we don't care.
Because we don't care about the little deaths.
And
you know what I mean? And is that sick?
And we also know what's going to happen. The left is going to go, we need stricter gun laws. We need this, that, the other. And the right goes, there's nothing we can do. It's not the gun laws.
Yeah, it's not the guns. It's not the guns, it's the people.
Or a good guy with it. We know the arguments. It's kind of repetitive.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, we all know.
Everybody's drawn their line and nothing happens.
You know what I said?
No, more people get killed. That's what happens.
No, I'll tell you when the Republicans will be willing to have the conversation. When Hillary converts to Islam and shoots a bunch of lobbyists. that's when the Republicans will be like, all right, maybe we should talk.
No. It would be her fault.
No, but I understand that. But Hillary always gets their attention. A year later, we can't have enough Hillary.
Oh yeah, but it wouldn't change anything about the guns.
Well, if you kill lobbyists, it might.
Still no. I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
I'm just not. I don't like how the answer is like, well, we should all have guns and everybody should be packing and you need a good guy with it. It's like wherever we go, like, listen, I'm not anti-gun per se. I'm not one of these people like, oh, get rid of the Second Amendment. I get the amendment. And we'll talk about this more. I'm not that, but I'm like, there's got to be something better.
Yes.
This is not – we know how other nations handle things. They're safer.
They're safer. They don't have the headlines that we do. No. They don't have the blood on the streets that
we're not even impressed anymore.
I know.
It's
people go, oh yeah.
It's like over popcorn. 500 in Vegas shot. That's the new high score.
Right?
That's where we are.
Right. It's like an endless game of Frogger.
It's so I don't want to. I mean, I was voted down. I'm not allowed to leave this country, but
by a higher authority than yourself.
If there is such a thing, indeed, yes. But I'm tired of this country. I'm tired of a lot of the people. Individually, I can talk to anybody. Mm-hmm. You know, I still overall like people. I don't really want to talk to people, but I still like people. But the mentality, the unwillingness to yield, to bend, compromise is a dirty word. The unwillingness to do research and educate yourself and be better and be better informed. How the loudest voice has to be the voice that carries day, whether it be the left or the right.
Right.
Because those are the voices that you hear, the left and the right, the loudest voices.
The loudest people, yes.
It's not appealing to me. It's not a place where I want to raise a child. But here we are. And I don't feel like I can protect my child. And I don't feel like if I had a gun, walking around wherever she goes is a good answer.
Like that's going to protect her better.
Right. Well, that's essentially some people's answer.
Well, she
should be strapped. Really?
Your child?
Well, but that's essential. That's essential. All the teachers should be strapped. You know, we should all be. I don't want that.
For the love of God, don't learn how to control yourself.
Here's the thing with guns. There's a time and place for everything. Mm-hmm. And some people, in my opinion, should be allowed to have guns. Mm-hmm. But there should be checks. There should be like tests. Listen, when I went to get my driver's license, I understand one's a privilege, one's a right. I understand that.
Yeah.
When I went to renew my driver's license, I still had to take an eye test.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, when I first took my driver's license 17 years ago, my eyes were perfectly good. They still wanted to check in and make sure I'm still capable.
I'm glad to hear that.
As was I.
Yeah, thanks for not running me down in the street.
No, when they ask you questions, listen, it's very easy to fake this stuff. You can't really fake an eye test, although I guess you could. You get it from a doctor, you pay the doctor, whatever. There's ways. But I kind of like the fact they're checking in. I think they should check in more because I know as you get older, your reflexes deteriorate. Maybe your mind's not all there. Maybe you're on medications.
We all know somebody who should not be driving.
Right.
We all do. And it might be somebody in your family. You know darn well they shouldn't be on the street. They're dangerous to other people and themselves.
And my point is there are, as we saw in Texas, there are people that clearly should not have weapons.
Oh, Yes.
So it's not the it's not the Hillary or Barack is going to take all of our guns. It's really never the plan.
See, that's a sticky one for me because the mechanism was in place to keep him from getting guns, but human error, it
right.
didn't work. You know, like
listen, it can't block everything.
No, there are going to be people that sneak through, but. I mean, I'm glad to know that wet mechanism
but
was there.
And
more of that,
we're
going to
do a little bit more of it later. But here's the thing. Even if he couldn't get guns legally, he could still legally go to a gun show.
And get them there.
Right, because they don't have universal background
right,
checks.
Right.
So, yes, this time was human error. And human error is a lot.
Yeah.
There's a lot of, but we also know plenty of other cases where every box was checked and they still got. We talked about the story in Florida where this guy was hearing voices and everything. They knew he was mentally ill and he goes back to his house to get his arsenal.
Yeah, that's lovely.
I mean, there's enough of that. We can do better. And I don't feel like I can keep my family safe. I feel like even if I had, and I've thought about it at times having a gun.
Mm-hmm.
I've thought about it. But I feel like even if I had it, really a gun is good for a home invasion.
Yeah. And that's about and you also run the risk of them being, you know.
How often do you see that accidentally get shot?
You?
Well, I didn't even think about that. But a family member, a kid actually, you know, well, you keep safe.
Look what I've got.
Yeah, I'm sure. Listen, everybody whose kid accidentally killed themselves thought they had their gun in a safe place.
Yeah.
I understand that.
And they somehow figured out where you kept the ammo separate. You know, it happens.
No, nobody's leaving a gun around on the coffee table in the house with the toddler. I mean, I don't think so.
Yeah, not unless you're also doing crack. And then, yeah, there's another problem.
But, I mean, do I... Like, to have a gun would not make me feel manlier. It might make me give you maybe a little bit more courage. But do I really want to have to wear a gun to my kid's Little League game? I mean, is that...
I know. Is that where we're at?
Is that, like, if I go out to dinner and I look nice, do I really want to bring my gun because shit might go down?
Yeah.
I mean, shouldn't there be, like, a peace of mind? And there used to be where you could just go out and it was going to be okay. Yes, you could get mugged. It absolutely could happen. And in the 70s, crime was rampant in New York City.
Yeah, it was.
But you know what? Rudy Giuliani cleaned up Manhattan.
Yeah, a lot.
He did. He did, and now he did.
Not completely, but a lot.
And he did a lot of things that are questionable with the stop and frisk, this, that, the other thing.
He also violated people's civil rights doing it, so.
Listen, I'm not saying it was perfect. I'm not saying that was the way to go. But you know what he didn't do is he didn't arm the populace to clean up the city.
No.
So I'm saying, you know, man, you know, Times Square was friggin' Disney World there for a while. It's kind of backslid a little bit under de Blasio.
Yeah.
You
know. But it was Disney-fied.
Yeah.
And I mean, like, weird people who just love the crustiness of New York were like, ew, Disney. But you did feel...
A lot safer.
I mean, God, I remember the days I had to commute into the city and you go through Port Authority bus terminal and regularly walking over drunk people to go up to the lonely bus platform where you'd sit by yourself waiting for a bus and anyone could get you up there.
Well, you in the city
all by yourself.
You've seen how it's backslid under the past couple of years under de Blasio. He might lose tonight because of that.
Yeah, I know.
The city has backslid. But my point to that was, and I'm not a huge fan of what Giuliani has become.
No.
But my point to that was we did see a major city get cleaned up without arming the populace.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't want a police state, but I don't mind hiring more police.
No.
And, and I have a natural distrust of the police. I mean, there are certain police that I love, you know, that I have on the show. But in conversations, I do have a distrust. That being said, I don't feel uncomfortable when there's a lot of police around. When you leave a New Jersey Devils game in Newark.
And there's a big police presence on the streets.
Yes.
What is annoying, what is upsetting about that, and I don't have this completely worked down in my head, but that police presence, by and large, is there for the moneyed white people who are leaving the game.
But what I'm saying,
and as soon as the white people are gone, the people who live in Newark are on their own again.
But what I'm saying is, hire enough. Raise my taxes if it's going to things like that. Hire enough police
so that people feel safe.
Where they control. Where the police, and we've seen this in Camden and other places, where the police, they ingratiate themselves into the communities.
Yes.
So when there's a problem, people go to the police as opposed to distrusting the police.
Right.
Make the police part of the community. Give them the numbers they need. Don't have them violate civil rights. But let people see the good work the police do. Because very often, if to Joe's girl's point, the media likes to, you know, we hear all the time when a cop screws up.
Right.
And we don't hear all the wonderful things they do on a daily basis to make people's lives a lot better. And by
and
large,
we hear extraordinary things, but we don't hear the everyday just every, nice things that they do.
Every day a cop is doing, in a vicinity near you, a cop is doing something to make your community's life better.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the way it is.
It is.
And it doesn't get reported. So I'm saying, you know what? If I'm going to pay bullshit taxes anyway, put it towards that. Give me more police.
Yeah.
Give me more teachers. Give me better teachers. So that the next generation is better. So they're more informed. So mm-hmm. so that we're not susceptible to things that I'm going to talk about later on in the show. If we're going to pay high taxes and we're going to pay
and we
it,
are anyway.
Exactly. Let's do it to things that make us better.
Yeah.
You know, let's not have lobbyists coming in and solve our problem.
That's a huge problem.
It certainly
because corporate money is too involved in our political
and
process.
Let's have police oversight.
Yeah.
So that we can break the culture where on the times when police do bad,
mm-hmm.
other police officers feel comfortable that
the
they can
blue
report.
Line of silence. And
right.
It's like that should not be allowed.
Right, exactly. So I mean there's a lot of things that we can do. But yeah. So I
even the police officers that we've welcomed in to talk on the show, people that we know in person, they will acknowledge that cops are people too, and there's good eggs and there's bad
yeah.
eggs, you know? I mean, there's proper vetting of the people that are hired as, I mean, they do psychological testing. Maybe there should be more. Maybe there should be more training on certain areas.
I think it's the type of thing where, like, everything should be checked in. Here's the interesting thing about my job.
Mm-hmm.
Every time I hit the stage, We're checking in to see if I can still do the job.
Yes, true.
I mean, because that's the reality. Because
yeah.
if you can't do the job, you accumulate bad reports, and that's the end.
Yeah, no, you get tested every day.
A lot of jobs don't have that. A lot of the jobs, you can fly underneath the radar and, you know,
do a bad job for a while.
Exactly. Maybe we all need to be checked more.
Oh, yeah. I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, not in such a punitive way that, you know, people, like, petty supervisors can be like, aha, you know.
No, but just like, are you doing it? Where's your head at?
Yeah.
You know, what do you need help with? What can we do better on?
Right.
Are you still capable of doing this job? Should you be doing something else? Maybe you shouldn't work here anymore. Maybe we need to value what you're doing more because you're going far above and beyond.
Yeah, yeah. You know? I mean, and you're doing great, pat on the back. Or you... Maybe you need some retraining.
Yeah.
You know, not just like out the door, but, you know, if there's a way. See, we live in a throwaway society.
Yes.
Things and people are just thrown out if they don't meet our, you know, our fabulous sweet 16, fabulous, excessive standards. Everything has to be top of the line or it's tossed out. And that's not necessarily a very healthy way to live with things or people. You know, you shouldn't just say, you know, you are a criminal and we are just going to lock you up. And how about...
Lock her up!
I mean...
Lock her up! Well, it's a year anniversary, I kind of thought.
Right. But I mean, what I'm saying is, I'm not talking about with rose-colored glasses that, oh, everybody just needs a little hug and they'll be better. No, there are truly evil, unrepentant, never going to be fixed humans out there that are damaged beyond repair. I truly believe that since the studies show it, they back me up, that child molesters cannot be rehabilitated. It's a sickness that sticks with
but
them.
But Kevin Spacey's so talented.
Oh, God! What? What a disappointment. But you know what? I already knew from Gawker... articles years ago that he was into like really young twinks and probably I knew he was probably into underage guys too.
Well, you'll be very proud of me. I had a show on Saturday night,
uh-huh.
and I worked my first Kevin Spacey line in.
I'm very proud.
And it got a huge laugh. And the week before, I worked my first Harvey Weinstein line is. The hard thing for me is I often get my Harvey Weinsteins and my Harvey Fiersteins confused.
Oh, that's a huge, huge difference.
And, you know, Harvey Fierstein isn't guilty of anything yet, although I got my eye on him.
And he knows that.
Exactly.
He feels the eyeball
of
judgment.
I am equal opportunity when it comes to abusers.
Well, I mean, but back to what I'm saying is that somebody like that is not redeemable.
No.
Not.
Speaking of unredeemable, Joe's here.
wasn't that a flying crap show out there tonight?
Oh, God. It's
hey, welcome to the flying crap show in here.
Funny.
I don't think the color's going to come back in my knuckles.
Is it really pouring out?
It's horrible. It's
yeah,
like
and people don't know how to drive when they see rain.
It's a whole host of horrible.
Yeah.
Another slogan for the show. It's a whole host of horrible.
We were just talking about you, dear.
Okay. Well, I'm glad Joe's here for this.
Hi, how are you?
Hey, good. How are you doing?
Save it for the break. We don't have time for that. You're late.
Sorry.
Wait a minute. It's like
I love I'm on a carousel with cotton candy and a rainbow on the way up here.
As long as you're admitting that, we can move on.
$60 in tolls and gas and a shit drive. All right.
Listen, the car's not thrilled with you either. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like it got Andretti to drive it. It got you. Okay. Are you going to be a sourpuss the whole night?
No, I'm just chilling out. I haven't stopped since 6:30 this morning.
You shouldn't have moved half an hour further. It's fucking killing.
Doesn't make a difference.
Well, it certainly does. It certainly does. Anyway.
So
I did a fundraiser for the Republicans, the local Republicans.
Oh, okay. That's interesting.
A couple weeks. No, it's not. I actually did it for them last year, too.
Yeah. No, I know. I know you have. It's just, you know.
He's going the other side.
Yeah.
Yes, because your arguments are so compelling.
You're raising you're raising funds for their coffers? Are you?
I'm raising funds for my coffers.
Well, true.
See what he is as soon as it's filled his pocket, he drops his whole agenda.
I forgot you're a socialist. I'll move on, Pinko. Pinko commie. All right. Listen, pay the bills. Like I said, you know, listen. But I'll make fun of anybody. I don't give a shit. Pay me.
No.
What?
Just put that in your bio.
I was just going to say.
Who said it's not?
Put that on your website.
Yeah.
I'll make fun of anybody. Pay me.
Yeah. I don't give a shit.
I don't care.
And the funny thing is, last year when I did it for them, I had a good amount of Trump jokes that I did on them.
Okay. And they enjoyed
so they
that?
Knew, they knew what they were getting.
Oh, okay, good.
Well, they brought you back, so that's a
that's
good
what thing. I'm saying. Yeah. So these are fine Republicans with a good sense of humor.
That's nice.
Local Republicans. Nice people.
Yeah.
But individually, I always like people. Although, now I do have to talk about, last year I don't recall speeches.
Oh.
There were speeches.
Uh-oh. Before or after your act?
Both.
Oh, God.
So I did want to talk about what I heard. First of all, the two gentlemen that were running, an Italian fellow and a fellow named Muhammad. I don't know if he was Indian or Muslim. I don't know. I'm guessing Muslim, Muhammad. But whatever.
Know.
Very, very lovely young men. You know, very, very, very nice guys. So what I'm about to talk about is not diminishing them at all.
Right.
An Italian and an Indian walk into a fundraiser.
I don't know if he's... well, no.
But and a Jew's there to tell jokes.
Like I didn't use that?
Yeah. Of course.
No.
It sounds like a setup.
Listen, their election's tonight, you know.
Yeah.
Hopefully they have success. Last year, one of the people who were raising money for her, she won. She was there this year.
Nice.
So I guess in that area, it's hard for Republicans to win, I guess. So, cool. You know, individually, I like people. So, and I just want to point out before I talk about what I'm going to talk about.
Individually, I like people. When you put them in a mess, there's a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you vote?
No, I didn't vote because I didn't. I couldn't get. I don't know if I could get to my old town because remember
oh, that's
we
right.
Talked,
yeah.
Okay. And the funny thing is that even if I was able to get out there and do it, I couldn't even sneak it in because my neighbor. It runs the book.
Oh, God.
And not my neighbor.
You
up
wanted
the
to
street.
Vote illegally.
My neighbor.
You wanted to vote illegally. No. You're one of the illegals.
And she's not like my neighbor up the street. She was my neighbor directly across the street.
So she knows darn well you don't live there anymore.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Well, next time you'll vote.
Yeah.
So, anyway. So, there's a pre-show speech given by one Republican. Essentially, was saying, and Joe's going to enjoy this part, things are great now that Trump is in office. We have record low jobless rates, record high, at least in the past 17 years, I think the lowest jobless rates, record high stock market, ISIS is getting its butt kicked in the Middle East. Everybody applauded.
Yeah.
These are all good things.
They're good things.
Absolutely. That's also, and I'm thinking to myself, and these are all true, and I'm thinking to myself, this must be how the indoctrinated get around critical thinking. Because while all these things are very true. And I would not deny any of them. And they're all good for the country. Mm-hmm. So I am pleased. I'm not one of these people. I'm just like thinking, let's just go through this, though.
Wait a second. Finish that thought. You're not one of these people.
Who's like wants to diminish it because my guy or girl is not in office.
Okay, thank you.
You know, these are all.
I knew what you meant, but I didn't know if the audience understood.
Thank you. These are all things that are good for the country. I'm pleased.
Yeah.
I'm pleased.
Good.
But let's go through this a little bit, though. Jobless rates, like I said, are at 17-year lows.
Mm-hmm.
Now, during the campaign, Trump told us those numbers were not real. They were not reliable.
Okay.
Joe said you can't take it's not taking into account all the people who left the workplace and stopped working, which was an argument we heard a lot.
Right.
So we now and also we actually had more jobs created to this point last year than we have this year.
Okay.
But I'm not one who would shit on Trump for that. I go, oh, well, there was more last year. I'm not that type of petty guy.
Right.
Either way, more jobs are being created. I'm happy about that. Obama greatly reduced the jobless rate and under his administration, we were told they meant nothing. So now that we have Donald Trump in office, the numbers mean something? No, no. Either they mean something or they don't mean
something.
Well,
they actually do. And why? Why does that mean something? Why does that mean something? Why? Because the outlook, the job outlook for small businesses and businesses.
No, I don't want to talk about outlook. I want to talk about the actual numbers. I don't want to talk about how
the outlook, but that outlook that the business, you got to understand something. A business puts together their business plan every year. And that business plan is on what the basis of the fiscal and the economic outlook is. Every business does that. If they feel that with less regulation, more business forward thinking, there's a better
Here's the problem with that.
Here's
the problem with that. I just told you we created more jobs to this point last year. That's the problem. With that, again, I'm not hating on Trump for this. I'm happy, and if businesses feel like things are going to get better,
well, what kind of jobs were created?
Last
year versus this
listen,
year.
Listen, man, I'm just telling you the speech that was given.
Yeah, but I'm just telling you, you know, if you're going to say this, you got to look at the facts.
Well, he didn't do that. He did not break it
well,
down.
You're not doing it now either.
I'm not the one giving a speech
to a but you're the one that is critiquing it.
Pretty much the same. The jobs are essentially the same type of jobs we've been creating.
You know that? Have you seen the statistics?
I haven't seen them this month, but essentially it's the same type of jobs.
What type of job?
Here, people look it up while I continue. People look up job creation.
Look.
Here's what you do.
I get fucking homework because you.
Look at she's like, oh, because they got a debate where I can't bullshit
you had a
with
week
Tom.
Off. You're fucking fine. You don't have to make googly eyes at your girlfriend in the chat like some people do. He missed that.
Look at his. Oh, they're putting me to fucking work. These two assholes.
You want
to
get
on
your computer so you can say I miss you to your loved one again? Nope. Instead of running the chat, you cock. Anyway.
I went in there last week.
I understand. Save it.
She's the only one to talk to, stupid.
Save it. Well, you had two people here.
There was 90 people in there. And she was
so you can look up jobs created. You can look up, say, August. August 2017. August 2016. That's a good month to do it. Anyway. But the point is that all of a sudden the numbers and Trump. I remember when Whatchamahoozits came out, the former press secretary Spicer came out and they questioned like, "Yep, now they mean something." The numbers, and he laughed at it because he did it as soon as he went into office. So whatever. So I have a hard problem with that. Record high stock market. Yes, the market is high. This is a good thing. But we were told during the election that the market didn't really mean anything. We were told it really mattered. On Main Street. Now, I have stocks. I'm very happy. I'm happy about it.
Yeah.
But we were told it means nothing. Also, the market grew more under Obama. So let's give him some credit with the shit show he was given to what it is now. So let's not create the story that Donald Trump came in and turned everything around. He's doing very well with the market. I'm happy for the market. But does the stock market mean something or does it not mean something? I always thought, well, it's a good indication. Now, unfortunately, the companies are not reinvesting all this capital that they have. They didn't do it under Obama. They're not doing it under Trump. They're not investing all this capital that they have in hiring a new workforce. They're stocking their coffers, which is what companies do. I get it. That's why you have shareholders. Get it. They're trying to, you know, to get the least amount of people, do the most work for the least amount of money possible. That's their gig.
Oh, yes.
I get that. And for people like me who own stocks and have retirement plans, it's very good. But that's not what we were told matters.
Right.
We ran a campaign where it's not about Wall Street, it's about Main Street. That was the campaign that both sides ran.
But now they're saying, oh, no, it is about that.
Exactly. That's where I have. And it was both sides. It was both the Democrats and the Republicans. You know, don't worry about the stock market. It's about Main Street. I guess not. Not for the purposes of this speech. Also, with ISIS. Yes, we are kicking ISIS's ass. We were kicking ISIS's ass before. Now, if you want to criticize Obama was late on the draw, I'm not going to argue.
Also, they're giving more control to the generals.
Yes, they are. Yes, there is more. You're absolutely right. Now there is more control to the people on the ground.
Right.
That's been the one difference between Trump and Obama. But essentially, they're running the same plan. They're doing the same type of thing. It wasn't like, you know, President Trump came in and there was this huge surge of troops or anything like that. It's essentially the same thing. And again, I'm happy that we're kicking ISIS's ass. But let's not pretend that Obama didn't have something to do with it. The military experts will tell you it's the same strategy with the one difference that Joe pointed out. We've seen some. I'm sure
that
some,
one difference is a big difference.
Well, we've also seen some bad clusterfucks because of that too.
You saw it on both sides, but the rules of engagement—they've changed the rules.
That's been the one change. That's been the one change.
Is a lot helpful in you know.
But the military experts said ISIS was already on the run. The caliphate. The one criticism you can have at Obama—that's fair. Because even when Obama was leaving the caliphate, Obama didn't say you're going to worry about ISIS. He said you're going to worry about North Korea. The one critique of Obama that you can have is he was late on the draw. He didn't take it seriously early enough. And that's fair because we probably could have saved a lot of lives in the Middle East and in Europe and in here if we would have acted quicker. That's a fair criticism of Obama, and I would never argue otherwise. But the fact of the matter is once Obama got his shit together – the strategy's been working, and essentially Trump is carrying out the same strategy. So while this
but
is a victory,
I think it is working a little bit better where there is a little more leeway. It's the same strategy, but you're giving more leeway to your generals that are in the theater of operations.
Right. It has good and bad. I mean, we've seen a couple of horrible missions, things going wrong, including what
both
happened.
Sides.
In,
war is war. You know,
I understand that. But like things were like maybe they didn't like what happened in Niger. It looks like. They didn't have surveillance. They shouldn't have been. Like, some mistakes were made where maybe if they ran that up the flagpole, somebody would have said, you know, they can't send these guys on a patrol. They've been out 24 hours. We don't have air cover for them. So, like I said, it goes. I'm not going to kill Trump for that. I'm not one of those people that just wants to bash the president for everything that goes wrong. I'm not that guy. I'm just saying. Can we be fair when we talk about stuff? Do we always have either way?
But you're not gonna go to a Republican speech and hear what a great guy Obama is.
I understand. Which is why I didn't say
it.
I understand.
Why not?
No, you're right. But and listen, it's not really a critique of this person per se giving the speech. It's a critique of where we are as a society. That it's just about our team, and we're willing to put away critical thinking and looking what God said. It's like I look at this as like.
Well, I got to say one thing. It's very inside, but I have to say it. It's like he was having a birthday party, and people got up to say what a great guy he is, and all of a sudden, what a good guy he is! He is one of the nicest guys you would ever want to meet. What a good dude, and he's very funny.
No, I know who you were doing. I just didn't get the
because he would come to. He would have to. He would be coming to somewhere to say nice things about you. Yeah.
Okay. Anyway,
that's not going to happen.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
But before you were here, I was talking to Pip about some of the disappointments I have and where we are.
Aww. Yeah. And what are those?
You listen to the show. I'm not fucking redoing the first hour for you. But this way, we don't analyze, and we just play to. And I'm not just saying it's the right, because I'm sure if I went to a Democratic fundraiser, it would just be nothing but vilifying Trump and the Republicans.
Yeah,
I'm sure they would do the same thing. So I'm not going, well, how dare the right? Not for this particular thing. I'm just saying, is that where we are? That we just need to have as our Joe would like to say, our asses powdered, and we just need to feel. Is that where we are?
Well, in that setting, yes.
That's sad.
But no, it's not sad. It's a Republican gathering, and they're going over everything that's gone on. And they're going over the accomplishments and the way things are going. You're not going to bring up negative bullet points in a
speech. I don't want them
like
to bring
that.
Up negative bullet points. But not let's not
Well,
let.
Don't expect then don't expect to hear them.
I don't know, man. It's like somebody hits a triple, then gets pinch run for, and the guy who scores takes credit for hitting a home run. That's how I kind of it's kind of like it's like you know kind of took a team to get this there. It took a team to get the run. One guy,
but, you know, but it's funny like when we go back and forth and debate stuff and you go well that's an op-ed. It's essentially an op-ed right there. You know,
no, it is.
You know,
no,
so
like
you,
I said, I'm not
be...
critiquing the guy.
Right.
I'm critiquing where we are as a society. The next person I'm going to critique the guy. The next speech that I'm going to critique. But I'm not critiquing this guy. I'm just sitting there going really. And I get what he's doing and everything, but the fact is people don't think critically. They just hear what they want to hear. That's my problem with the society. Not this guy. He's playing, you know, it's like the guy who goes, who closes his show by, let's hear it for the troops. I get it. You're pandering. It makes me want to kill myself and you. But I get what you're doing. I see the magic. I'm just not impressed. It doesn't float my boat.
I really was expecting Joe to jump in right now and say, oh, let's hear it for the troops when you said you wanted to kill yourself.
No, but Joe, you know what I'm talking about, the pandering.
There is pandering.
What a good-looking audience you are.
Yeah, you got no ugly people here. Really? Have you seen the second row? Have you seen the goiter on that bitch?
Stop
like
pointing at me.
Looks like a head growing out of it.
Honey, were you in a car accident right before you walked in here? Because your nose is on the side of your face.
During the break, it smoked.
There's Dolly's favorite model. Salvador Dali. Drooping face.
Oh, wow. Yeah, Art reference. Wrong show, sweetie.
Yeah, I just realized.
Listen, I'm highbrow, but I'm not that highbrow. My horse isn't that high, Joe.
I did. What if I said Picasso's favorite model?
I would have
got
there
that. There you go. All right.
When you said, when Dolly, I was thinking Dolly Parton or Dolly Madison. I was not thinking Salvatore Dolly.
Can you like see these abstract big tits on this thing and close to Salvatore Dolly Parton?
Not the worst idea I've heard. You'll probably get that in the streets in the city.
That's actually pretty good. I think that's going to be next Halloween. Oh, nice.
All right. So then there's after the show, and I guess we need more speeches. I guess.
Oh, God.
Because everybody's happy. So why?
Yeah. Why not bring them down?
Okay. So this guy who announces next year he's going to be running for Congress. He hasn't announced it yet, but he's announcing to this group of local people that he's going to be running for Congress. He gives this speech.
Oh, boy.
Gonna submit this for the thing. So like I said, there's a nice Italian fellow, and there's a young man named Muhammad running.
Now, is this Muhammad coming up?
No, not Muhammad. This is somebody else
going
to speak.
Okay.
Muhammad and the nice Italian fellow are sitting podium left, stage left. Like I said, met them both. Very nice guys. Nothing bad to say about him. Wish him nothing but success. I looked at the credentials. I go, really? But I don't know. I don't know the credentials of the person who's running against him. It's local office. I don't know. You got to put something. So I don't know.
Let me ask a question. Do you get a lot of laughs when you're on stage? And I'm not being an asshole here. Did you?
Yeah, I'm very good at this.
Okay, no. Why I'm saying that is sometimes that you go to these fundraisers, the political fundraisers, and try to get a laugh on because they're so afraid to laugh at the wrong things.
Right, right.
They're cool. No, they're nice people. Yeah. They're nice. I talk to them after. They're nice people. I don't know. Like so many people, I don't agree with them politically, but people are like, how can you be friends with this, that, one, that? Because they have other qualities. There's other aspects of their personality besides their politics. So I try to focus on that.
Now, if you want to discuss where things are nowadays, that's something really to discuss where people can't respect other people's opinions.
Trust me, I get that quite often in regards to our friendship.
I understand that.
But, I was friends with them before I knew their politics, and there are other good qualities. Why? But whatever, I don't want to get into that. I want to get into this speech.
I am waiting with bated breath.
Yes. So he announced he's going to run for Congress. He tells how his daughter is in college.
Right.
And her friends say Republicans are racist. We've certainly heard that, and I always bristle back. I've seen some people who go, even today, don't call Trump supporters to work, call them racist. I'm like, yeah, there's some of those, but there's other people, too.
Yeah, well, there's one specific person on a debate we were having last week that called me a racist, flat-out racist, and asked Davin how he could be friends with me. And then I told him that he's calling me a racist, but essentially he's a bigot, and to prove that, I go, I want 5 bullet points why I'm
a racist. Joe gave homework.
I've never heard from a guy, but, so it's just so easy to call somebody a racist without defining.
Well, it's like, if you're going to level a charge, you better have some backup.
Listen, there are plenty of Trump supporters that are racist, but it's not all of them. And it's unfair to brush everybody.
It's unfair to use everyone.
In the day, the right would say, the Democrats are all communists.
Yeah,
whatever.
It's
easy. It's good. It gets your crowd whipped up, but that's not really what it is. So I kind of look at the same thing with race and go, nah.
It's not fair to use such a broad brush.
Exactly. Individually, I'm sure I can find plenty of them, but there's plenty of, I assume some are the good people. So I'm not one to do that. That's not my mode. Right. But anyway, so her daughter in college, friends say Republicans are racist. That's a problem. I'm assuming her friends are left. That are saying this, if we're taking the story to be true, and that's a problem that they're going to this girl, all Republicans are racist, that's uncalled for.
Because it seems that their professors are brainwashing them into that.
No, this is her friends.
At school, at college.
Yeah.
Yeah, and brainwashing the friends up there.
Listen, plenty of people get brainwashed. I just told you about the story I heard to start off the events. Mm-hmm. That's brainwashing, too. Plenty of people get brainwashed. So he goes, our friends are saying Republicans are racist, so let's prove them wrong and get Muhammad elected. No. I thought it was the Democrats that got accused of playing identity politics. So forget about Muhammad's qualifications.
Yeah.
Forget about his content and character. His name is Muhammad. Let's prove those stupid liberals wrong that we're not racist by voting this here good Muslim. He's one of the good ones. Are you fucking shitting me?
We're not bigots. We have a Muhammad.
That's what it makes me think.
Well, let me point out the reason.
Please don't stick up for this guy.
Let me point out the reasoning behind there. And there's absolutely none.
You had me there for a minute.
Guys, I did that. No, I you can't. Right, you're right.
It's just
you got to relax.
Let's get Muhammad elected because he has the same values we have. He believes in this. He's accomplished this. He's a businessman. Whatever. Let's get Muhammad elected for that. How about? Well, not because his name's Muhammad, and we're going to prove those liberals that we're not racist. But wait, there's more.
Oh, jeez.
We got a colored guy we're going to vote for, too.
It was essentially a thinner Archie Bunker. Anyway, I felt it was a little uncomfortable in the room with this speech.
Yeah.
Felt it? Did other people?
That's what I'm saying. I was fucking mortified. And I was laughing my ass off going, aha! I knew it!
Aha!
And I was thinking, well, now I got shit to talk about for the show. But I felt
all
like...
worth it.
I felt like other people in the audience were a little uncomfortable with
that. Oh, no.
Would you have been uncomfortable with that? Or would you have just gotten swept up in the moment?
I wouldn't have gotten swept. Not at all. Not at all. No, I would not have.
Would you have been offended by that?
I would have been not offended, but upset behind that because basically if you that's the problem with my party sometimes is politicians in general. I mean, they will – a politician, they go out of their way – take it, you know, you can't say anything because it's politically.
If they all talk like this, they shouldn't.
That's right. Yeah, that they're politically. Well, we can't. Watch what you say. And then they come out and say something so stupid as this, where Damon just pointed out there are so many bullet points that you could say why Muhammad. And don't even allude that the guy is a Muslim and we're going to vote for him because he's a Muslim. No, vote for him because he's good. He knows policy. He has a plan to, get policy
honestly,
going.
It made me think, and I'm going to be honest, I kind of suspected it before. But after hearing this, it made me think that, like, ooh, we found one. Let's get him. That was my initial thought, leaning left. But when he said that, it just confirmed it for me. It confirmed my worst thoughts about what your party is. It really did.
Well,
it's just
as cynical as pushing the people of color to the front of the camera.
And I'm not saying they're all like that, but I'm just saying it confirmed the worst.
But don't. Like if you look at his credentials, credentials.
I told you, from the bullet points, nobody was very impressive. But I don't know who they were running against.
All right.
So I don't want to judge them. It's a town position. I don't know what those credentials should look like.
Right. But like I said, it's don't put the whole party on what this guy is saying.
No,
but
I didn't.
Right. But the simple reason is everybody around you. Why am I pointing at this story?
I don't
everybody.
Know. You're pointing at me. I'll take
the
it.
Paragraph where we're at.
Take that story.
Like
take that.
You want the highlighter?
Yeah. Hi, audience at home. Why don't you read what I'm reading?
Yeah. You're not even reading it. It's upside down from you. It's just
what I'm trying to do. But like I said, the others were rolling their eyes around you. Probably for the
there
same
was
reason.
An eye roll. There were an eye roll.
But still, they felt probably like
there's
they're
more.
Not okay.
There's more.
Oh, we're jumping the gun.
But I am heartened. That you had that reaction, although I would have liked to have seen you in the room with me at the time, because then I would have been fucking staring at your ass. But I am heartened that you had that reaction.
I would have felt the same way.
All right. So he goes, I'm sorry. He goes, then he says, now he's looking at Muhammad.
Right.
He's looking at Muhammad. Muhammad's sitting right next. Guy's standing. When you came to this country, we gave you everything you needed to succeed, right?
Oh, God.
And at that point, Muhammad just hangs his head.
Oh, yeah.
So Muhammad and his family get no credit for creating their version of the American dream, which traditionally is what republicanism stood for. we're not gonna give it to you, but our country is so good that you're going to be able to live your dream. But now he wants
it's
to take
land of opportunity.
Yes, he wants to take away Muhammad's accomplishments and say we gave them to you.
Well, that's the problem. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a typical politician, especially on the Republican side. I'll give you that. That you listen to and like. Did you walk outside? Did you go outside today?
Because
I was going to say if this guy runs for Congress, he's going to get his ass kicked. But I don't know with our electorate, anything is possible. But this guy should certainly not speak.
No,
because he does not have the charisma of our president to step in shit and go shit and keep going. Well, he's not that good.
He doesn't have the bullet. I mean, the way he's writing this, he could have wrote that speech differently. You know,
his I would hope
this,
so.
Is this, you know, this and on his accomplishments, where they could go. You know, he didn't have to bring that whole Muslim side up.
He didn't bring anything about this about Muhammad's accomplishments.
Because if you do that, it's like, well, Muhammad is planning on doing it, but you're bringing up the guy's name. The guy's name is Muhammad.
We get it.
He's not right. So let's think about that. We get it. We get it so much that all you have to do is bring up his accomplishments and what he proposes to do without even mentioning that he's Muslim.
He didn't mention he's Muslim, but
because if you do that, you're showing that you have enough inclusiveness in your agenda, in your own mind. You're not seeing him for a Muslim. You're seeing him for a man who's running for office.
This guy was the stereotype of what the left thinks the right is.
Oh, yeah.
This guy was your party's problem.
He totally took away Muhammad's agency and said, look what we gave to you, pat on the head. It was so condescending.
It was so bad. But I'm glad to hear that you are as mortified by this as I was.
Of course. It's you know, it's black and white the way he's saying this.
It's brown.
It's brown and white. Brown and white the way what's the matter with
it? It's brown and white. Write that down.
And like I say, this is the problem that I have with a lot in the Republican Party. I'll even go further with this on you. On when they're trying to redo Obamacare, they put out a plan that stinks on ice.
Yeah. And multiple stinks on ice. It
4 years to work. What? Longer
seven,
than that?
Eight,
seven,
eight years.
7 years to work in this damn thing, and this is the best you could come up with?
Well, I don't want
to
get into that thing. There was a lot
but
of
what
things
I'm saying
wrong.
Is it's along the same line. So, you know, it's like, I'm not, I'm Republican, I'm right wing, but I'm not marching. And if something stinks on ice, I'm going to point it out. And, whether I point it out or whether you bring it up, but it's, you know.
Yeah.
It was just really mortifying, and I felt bad for Muhammad. Because
that must have been mortifying.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and like people applauded because I guess that's what you
but
do.
But kind of half-heartedly.
You know, I couldn't really read the room. That was my perception.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I felt uncomfortable.
Yeah.
The other comics who I was with felt uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not like I walked the room and go, hey, what did you think of that speech?
It wasn't, get a load of that shithead.
I wasn't in the place to do that. I would have loved to have asked. I go, can you believe? Because they might have go, yeah, it was great. And I would have loved to have had that conversation.
Yeah.
But it was not the forum for it.
Right.
So I sold my little DVDs and T-shirts. Took that nice green Republican money.
Did you sell some?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, nice.
But yeah. So that is the left has problems. And the right has problems, and you just hope that when guys like this get exposed to the electorate, they don't win, because this guy is not helping anybody. He's not helping his party. He's not helping the left. And this is how this guy thinks. He's thinking, I'm among friends.
Right.
I can say what I really think. It's not like he's trying to win over a mixed audience and show his candidacy.
Yeah.
He's like, everybody here thinks like me, so I can say this.
Right.
And then I just wonder, are people a little bit more critical of it like Joe was tonight, or are they going along with it? And
so as not to embarrass him on the podium.
No, what I'm
you
saying,
what
like, are they internally thinking?
Yeah, like, I would be like to know.
You know, I would have loved if Joe was in the room, and if I hadn't said anything, if he would, if Joe would have said something to me about that speech, because I'm bringing it. So now Joe knows. Well, there's something here to discuss. So his radar is raised.
Right.
That I have a problem with it, so Joe's looking at, you know.
I would have been raised. As soon as he said, we brought you here and gave you everything you needed, right, Muhammad? I'd be like, oh, brother. Oh, boy. And and it's like the next thing, don't make eye contact with stupid, because, he's staring at me like a police dog.
I thought you had treats.
Yeah.
That's a
All right. Your hopes up.
On the break, new music from Victoria Celestine with Can You Hear the Echo? And Malachi McNeil and The Necessary Evil with She. And you can learn more about both artists at deucemusic.com.